the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
What do you make of all the shenanigans in the Dáil today? They started proceedings at 11 o'clock. They should have moved quickly towards the nomination and then election of Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin as Taoiseach. And I understand they've only just now gotten to the part of making that nomination. Tabitha Monaghan, political reporter of the Irish Independent. Do we have liftoff?
No, Matt, it's actually the complete opposite. The Dáil has been suspended for the day and it won't be returning until 9 o'clock tomorrow. So that's literally happened within the last 3 minutes or so since I took the call about to go on air with you. So essentially what happened was that the Dáil came back. It was meant to come back at 4 o'clock. The Ceann Comhairle then didn't come back, Verona Murphy, until about 27 minutes past 4. Then the Dáil came back. What she tried to do then was to call on Albert Dolan from Fianna Fáil to nominate the Taoiseach to move this along, to get the Taoiseach nominated, or get the Taoiseach elected, so then he could go and get a seal of office in the Oras. That didn't happen. The opposition parties, Sinn Féin in particular, took to their feet, really dug their heels in. They were protesting that they were being respected. And now the Verona Murphy felt that she had no choice but suspend it all. So it's all over now until 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, because I just looked at a tweet from Gavin Riley in the last couple of minutes saying that Verona Murphy was trying to actually start the process, get Albert Dolan to do the nomination, even though there hadn't been a vote on the order of business, which is the way it's supposed to be done before you get to that.
That's it, exactly. And I suppose one of the reasons I think what she was trying to do is get the election of the Taoiseach going, because there was an agreement, I understand, that what would happen is that if you can, they want the Dáil Reform Committee to be reconstituted so that they can, if we're going to get back to what actually is happening today and what the row is about, is the speaking time with the independents of the regional independent group. They wanted to reconstitute that committee so that they could then deal with this issue tomorrow, thrash it out and see what kind of resolution they could come to. But the only way to reconstitute that committee is for the government to be appointed. So in order for the government to be appointed, the Taoiseach has to be elected. So that was really what was going on there. But again, like you said, it just wasn't possible. She really, Verona Murphy, I was listening just before coming on air, she kept calling on Albert Dolan to rise and nominate Micheál Martin, Fianna Fáil leader, and she just couldn't, because Mary Lou MacDonald in particular was calling on her, saying this isn't right, you know, we have to respect the opposition. Piers Doherty was saying that the Ceann Comhairle, it was a disgrace. It's just been chaos all day. And like you said,
We actually have bits and pieces of it that we could actually play for people. I mean, okay, it is in its own way sort of funny, but it actually is serious and embarrassing at the same time. Let's just hear when the Ceann Comhairle of Verona Murphy suspended the Dáil for a second time. Well, that was earlier this afternoon. Let's hear Richard Boyd Barrett accusing the government of supporting TDs who are speaking out of both sides of their mouths.
Why aren't we discussing the programme for government next week? There's no reason you couldn't answer questions on the programme for government that you've been negotiating for weeks. And then we have taken the art of speaking out of two sides of your mouth to a new and higher level, with people pretending to be independents but actually propping up Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in disguise, in reality, and want to be in the government, supporting the government, endorsing the programme for government, writers of the programme for government, and then pretending to be in opposition. Who they are undermining is not just the opposition, but the right of the people of this country to have a strong opposition and to hold this government to account. More stroke politics from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in disguise as independents.
Thank you.
Okay, there are so many of these that we're going to have the opportunity to play. Let's give Mary Lou MacDonald what she said this morning.
Secondly, Ceann Comhairle,
The speaking arrangements outlined or proposed by the government whip underscore again a ruse, a cynical and unprecedented ruse from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to place their independent cronies, supporters of the government, on the opposition benches and to afford to them the same speaking rights as genuine parties of opposition who, remember, are elected here by hundreds of thousands of voters to keep this government to account.
Okay, Tabitha, of course there is a row as well about how the Dáil will be 2 weeks off to give the ministers time to find their feet. Is that there's a precedent for that, is there?
Yeah, there is, and I there is for sure that they will. There's a lot of change this time around with cabinet. A lot of ministers will be getting new portfolios. There'll be TDs who will be promoted, so that they are traditionally given some time to. They're given their briefing documents that they have to get to grips with their new portfolio. So yes, there is definitely precedent for this, but this is going to be 2 weeks. And of course, we did have, you know, the suspension of the Dáil over Christmas, and we had the government negotiations throughout that. So I think again, I think this is just adding to. Adding to the opposition's arguments, you know, today in general, is, you know, between the independent speaking time, and then again, that's just going to be two further weeks where the Dáil won't be sitting. That, you know, people are arguing, opposition are arguing, there's still a housing crisis, there's still. Children with scoliosis who are trying to get treatment, or children around the country who might have school places, who have special needs. So there's a lot of things that still are going on, and yet the Dáil is going to be suspended for a further 2 weeks. So that the government are just not getting on with it.
Okay, how's the Taoiseach, incoming Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, reacted to being delayed a day in getting to his new position?
Yeah, I think with a bit of dismay, maybe, like just watching him from the press gallery. You know, nobody on that side of the chamber are happy with what's going on, and they are pushing back on this and saying this is a matter for the Ceann Comhairle to decide. But this is just what's happened. We knew that there was going to be some kind of friction about the argument over the speaking time today. We knew that was coming down the line. Whether it was going to be this extent or not is another matter. And we do have Micheál Martin's family here today, you know, dressed up all ready to see him elected as Taoiseach, and it just hasn't happened. It's going to be pushed back again. Like, it's not ideal by any stretch, but whether or not the Taoiseach is nominated or elected tomorrow, this issue of the speaking time is going to roll on. It still has to be dealt with one way or the other.
Okay, and then of course, are a lot of the people, have they been tipped off, some of the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs, as to whether they've been selected as cabinet ministers and as to what positions they've got?
Yeah, so we have some idea of the shape of the next cabinet from a senior level anyway. So we won't hear about the ministers of state today or actually this week. I think it might be next week. We don't have confirmation on that yet. So we know Taoiseach will be Micheál Martin, Tánaiste then, Minister of Foreign Affairs will be Simon Harris. So there'll be a direct swap there. Again, same with the Minister for Finance and Minister for Public Expenditure. There'll be a direct swap there. Pascal Donoghue taking over Finance, Jack Chambers taking over Public Expenditure. Few question marks still over who is going to get the Justice portfolio. Obviously, outgoing Minister is Helen McEntee, so it's moving over to Fianna Fáil this time. Some talk that Jim O'Callaghan will get it. He was the party's spokesperson on Justice, but he did decide to decline the offer of becoming the Minister of State in the last cabinet for Justice, and James Brown took over that, and so he could be in contention for that. Minister for Agriculture is likely to go to Martin Hayden of Fine Gael. Minister for Social Protection, Norma Foley, and Minister for Education, Helen McEntee. There had been some talk in recent weeks that she might go to Enterprise, but we understand it will be Education. Again, some questions over housing and where Dara O'Brien might go. He might go to he might stay in housing, he might go to Justice, some saying that it could be to Transport as well. And one of the early indications of who was going where, Minister of Health Jennifer Carroll McNeill. Again, like I said, Minister for Transport could be Dara O'Brien, but also there's James Lawless there. He's the current Minister of State, and he was out ahead during the Holyhead difficulties there before Christmas. A lot of people will remember Minister Enterprise, we believe, will be Peter Burke. He will retain that. Minister for Higher Education, then not too sure here either. Possibly Charlie McConnell-Logue. Pembroke, who is now the outgoing Minister of Agriculture, could be Derek Cleary as well of Fianna Fáil. Then for the arts and media, that'll be beefed up, that department. So we understand that communications will be part of that. We think that could go to Patrick O'Donovan in Fine Gael. And then Minister for Disability and Children will become a department. And we believe Mary Butler from Fianna Fáil might be getting that one.
Thank you very much for that, Tabitha Monaghan from the Irish Independent. Your colleague Charlie Weston is with us for personal finance in the moment, but we will be coming back to the seriousness of what has happened today. In some respects, it does sound funny, all of this shouting and yahooing going on in the Dáil, but it is actually quite extraordinary, the idea that our elected members cannot organise themselves to allow for the election of a Taoiseach of the country. This is what happened at around 4:30 when an effort was made to nominate Micheál Martin as Taoiseach, and it had to be abandoned, and the Dáil had to be suspended until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning because of this type of thing.
So, Ciarán Cóirle, I now would say that the nomination of Taoiseach should proceed as per the order of the House.
I now proceed with the order of business, Deputy.
Ciarán Cóirle.
Fulfill
our democratic mandate. There has to be respect for the opposition benches.
I call on Deputy Albert Donald as
Ciarán Cóirle.
And that's just a flavour of it. Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, you've been covering events in the Dáil for over 20 years. Have you ever seen the likes of this?
The only day, Matt, I can compare it to was the day that Brian Cowan tried to appoint a new cabinet or members of his new cabinet without the agreement of his then coalition partners, the Greens, in early 2011, which was kind of Keystone Cops kind of stuff. The Dáil descended into absolute farce that day. I haven't seen a day like it until today where there was a similar level of farce today. You know, we kind of knew once this kind of row or once this request that the group of independents that were essentially supporting the formation of government were also looking for opposition speaking time, trouble was brewing. And we knew that going in. And I was amazed that that deal or that situation had not been finalised or settled with, because we knew going into today that the opposition members were going to kick up. Now, did we expect it to kick up in the manner and to the level that it did today? No. But it is very unseemly to see politicians act in the manner in which they did. Like Michael Leary came out on the plane earlier on and basically said, listen, it had been agreed before now that they would essentially allow today's business happen on the old standing orders, i.e. the rules that applied to the last oil, and then they would have their bud fight and agree the new standing orders tomorrow. But the opposition obviously seemed to have, if that was to be true, the opposition have reneged on that and have caused holy hell today.
We actually have a little bit of the audio of Michael Lowry speaking to journalists outside the Dáil a couple of hours ago.
This morning what we've had is that Sinn Féin have decided to disrupt the proceedings today, and anyone would have to say from a democratic process what has happened today is absolutely shameful. It's disgraceful. The business of today was already set out. The agenda for today was to be the election of a Taoiseach and a government, and I'm sure that will still happen and that common sense will prevail. All of the whips have met. I'm the convener for the regional independent group. We've all met. We've had a meeting. And the clerk of the Dáil has proposed a compromise so that today's business could be concluded. Sinn Féin have insisted that they will not participate in today's business, the election of a Taoiseach and a government, until such time as there's agreement reached. What the clerk and the rest, most of the rest of it, well, I can't speak for the rest, my colleagues speak for the compromise that's on the table is, first of all, that the standing orders for today are very clear. And the standing orders for today state clearly that the way the government business is ordered today is perfectly within standing orders. And the only way you can change standing orders is to have the Reform Committee agree it.
The process in the background was those who were upset that the government is reneging on the Occupied Territories Bill that it was supposed to bring in, but that's something else entirely, which I'm sure we'll be discussing again. So let's just summarise that, Danny McConnell. It looks like Michael Lowry thought that there was a deal done to do the election of the Taoiseach under the old rules, and that then for the new Dáil, they would agree new rules and the whole thing about who could talk and who wouldn't talk in the coming days before they came back in 2 weeks' time. And yet, this apparently wasn't agreed, judging by the behaviour of the opposition parties in the Dáil.
Yeah, and Michael Lowry making the point very clearly that it was Sinn Féin that reneged on that, that they were the ones who led the charge. And you saw from the various exchanges from when the Dáil kicked off earlier on, Matt Carty, Páirc McLoughlin, Piers Doherty and Mary Lou McDonald very angrily kind of seeking to kind of make their point. And, you know, at one point essentially shouting down not only members of the government, but also being very direct and very critical of the new Crown Court of Fiona Murphy, who, it's fair to say, enjoyed a torrid day in the chair. And I'd say, you know, she was doing her best not to, I suppose, get baited into kind of a heated row. She was doing her best to try and remain calm. But, I mean, the Dáil, you know, was suspended several times, you know, was now suspended overnight. And ultimately and fundamentally, most importantly, you know, a very historic day, which is the election of an Taoiseach, which should have taken place today, won't now happen on until at least tomorrow morning. And that, I think, is it's a badge of shame for every member of Leinster House and member of Dáil Éireann, because, in fairness, they're there to not be kind of embroiled in these sort of, petty squabbles around speaking times. They're there to do the business, and the fundamental business they had to get done today was elect a new Taoiseach and a new government, and they've prevented that from happening.
No guarantees, I suspect, from that we'll get the Taoiseach elected tomorrow morning either. What do you make of this, Sarah Carey, columnist with the Irish Independent? Are the opposition entitled to do this, given what they see as a stitch-up in relation to the use of speaking time in the Dáil, and also when they're objecting to the Dáil having come back after the Christmas break, having had another break after the election, the Cian Chorla is now going to have a two-week Dáil recess to allow the ministers to settle in?
On the issue of the two-week break, I get that, and Tabitha was referring to that before the 5 o'clock news there about the precedence for that. On the issue of the technical group and the opposition speaking, I understand the objection. However, the way they handled it today was really, really disgraceful, Matt, and I think we have to take this very seriously. And it's not a question of politicians. This was led by Sinn Féin to deliberately disrupt and prevent the election of a Taoiseach for a government that we knew was going to be the government from the minute the results started coming in after the election on November 29th. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were going to be the government, and they have stopped that. Now, fine, there was no violence or anything like that, but they have bullied the Dáil into being collapsed, and the Taoiseach and his cabinet cannot be appointed today. Like, it really, really is of the utmost seriousness. And I know there are people who deride me because I'm always criticising Sinn Féin and warning about their behaviour and what kind of way they might behave in government. But here's what they've done today, leading the opposition. And I think the other opposition parties who joined in with them, you know, maybe trying to compete with them, have made a very serious mistake. Now, I don't know how the government is going to get out of this, because if they give in, it's giving in to bullies, and that's always a mistake. And I always say, like, to parents with small children, if you're going to say no, or if you're going to agree to what they want, agree to it quickly. Once you say no, you have to stick to your no, because otherwise you teach them that bullying works. So how are they going to get out of this mess? Because I think you're correct when you say we might not be able to move on at 10 a.m. tomorrow. I suspect pressure might be put on Matty McGrath, Carol Nolan, who are the other members of that technical group, that if they drop out of it, it'll fall below the qualification to get speaking rights. Something like that might happen. But this is serious. It really, really is. And I know it's easy for your listeners to say, oh, politicians, it's a disgrace, they're all the same. They're not all the same. The people who did this to the Irish people today were Sinn Féin, who led this, and they were wrong to do it.
Sarah Kerry, we actually previewed this yesterday on the programme. We had Patrick O'Bean of Into and Padraig McLaughlin of Sinn Féin debating this before 5 o'clock yesterday. And they were giving, Padraig McLaughlin was giving out to Patrick O'Bean about being part of this technical group, which included the regional independents who are supporting the government but want to be on the opposition benches. And then Patrick O'Bean today left that technical grouping. Let's just hear him explain on RT Radio earlier why he actually eventually left that technical grouping led by Michael Lowry.
We have another group to join, the independent technical group made up of Independent Ireland and Paul Gogarty have accepted myself and Paul Lawless onto that group, so we will have speaking rights. Listen, from the outset, we stated very clearly to all the political parties who were asking us to exit, we said, listen, we will exit if you share your speaking time with us. No other political organisation was willing to do that except for the independent technical group. And the other point, you know, we've been members of the regional group for the last 5 years. All of the groups were negotiating with the government in terms of government. It just happens government formed between the regional group and the two larger parties. And as a result, we were left in this situation. We could not relinquish the right to represent our electorate, the 100,000 people who voted for Aintu in this election, until we had an alternative.
OK, so Sarah Kerry, they go into a new technical group and they save their speaking rights. So that leaves behind how many regional independents and others to form another technical group?
So just for your listeners, first of all, before I think it was 1997, if there were any independent TDs, they would automatically form a technical group. And there were various tweaks and changes made to that system. And the big change came in 2016 when, for the first time, the standing orders allowed to have multiple groups, of which they only needed 5 people to be in a group. So everyone could get elected as an independent or a small little party, a micro party, as the political scientists call them. And then you could arrange your speaking rights. Now, from a kind of a very, very high level view, I don't like the fragmentation of politics. And I think changing those rules to constantly suit smaller and smaller groups of people and more independents incentivized TDs to leave big parties and go independent. And I think that was a strategic error. And what we're seeing now are those chickens coming home to roost. With regard to Patrick O'Bean, I wouldn't judge him for what he did today. Like, he really was just trying to get his speaking rights so that he would have a chance to stand up and represent his people. But what happened was, obviously, with 4 people in his group who were identified with the group supporting the government, that was going to end up dragging him down and he needed to get out of it and get another group to accept him, as he pointed out. So I understand the bind that Patter was in. The issue now is what are Matthew McGrath, Carol Nolan, the remaining members of the group going to do? So I know people must be listening going, what the hell? This is all madness, you know? But that's why they never should have changed it, I think, in 2016.
Okay.
And what Michael Lowry was talking about, those reforms that are coming, they should raise the bar and there should be more people needed for a technical group. That's
briefly, we're going to hear Micheál Martin in a second, but Daniel McConnell, it does seem Jesuitical, shall we say, that we now have a new group set up which has just about enough numbers to allow it to have representation, speaking time in the Dáil. But a number of members of that group are supporters of the government. The new members, Matty McGrath and Carol Nolan, are opponents of the government, and they'll be sharing time to either support or to oppose the government, depending who gets to speak. You could hardly make that up, could you?
No, you couldn't. And I think this is a fundamental flaw of the deal that was done at government level, that they could even begin to think that they could straddle both sides, i.e. support the government, i.e. vote and support for the government, and then expect to have speaking rights. They are independents, they're not in government, they're not ministers, but I just think, like, there is a legitimate frustration building. But the Sarah makes an absolutely pertinent point. Like, there should be, you know, there was a day where there was at most 1 to 2 technical groups. The fact that we now could have a kind of multiplicity of technical groups has caused chaos. This is the byproduct of that change the rules. Those rules were changed in 2016 when there was a minority government in place, you know, and there was a big call for Dáil reform. The balance of speaking rights went way out of whack in favour of smaller groups. There's to the huge complaints of government TDs who ultimately feel that they've been sidelined and marginalised and don't ever get the same right to speaking. There was a bun fight in 2020 down in the convention centre. You might remember when Catherine Connolly was in the chair and you had the likes of Brendan Griffin going toe-to-toe with the Healy Rays and the Richard Boyd Barrett late at night. It was pretty bitter row as well. So, I mean, I think ultimately, you know, a lot of people need to take a breath here. They need to figure out new standing orders for the Dáil to make it run effectively, because you cannot have an effective Dáil if every small and micro group deserves their, you know, equal speaking time, because the Dáil will get absolutely nowhere.
Okay.
And ultimately, you know, it's a recipe for chaos, and that played out today in Technicolor.
Okay, let's hear a little bit from the outgoing Taoiseach Simon Harris, what he had to say in the last few moments.
Whilst, of course, government and opposition parties can always engage on issues in relation to Dáil business, and we're willing to do that. And our Chief Whip, the Fianna Fáil Chief Whip, engaged today on that matter. A committee was due to meet tomorrow to progress that issue. But there's one thing you can't compromise on, and it's not within anyone's mandate to compromise on, and that's Bunreacht na hÉireann. That's the Constitution of Ireland and discharging our duties. And the idea that when there are so many pressing issues, when people turned on their television today to see the outworkings of the general election deliver a new government for them, that was deprived due to stunt politics, is utterly disgraceful. Mary Lou MacDonald came into Dáil Éireann today with one intention, and one intention only, to stop Micheál Martin being elected Taoiseach, and therefore to deprive the people of Ireland of the outworkings of the last general election. There is a majority of democratically elected representatives. We hear a lot about mandates. Respect my mandate. There's only one leader who spoke today in Dáil Éireann, by the way. The Sinn Féin leader.
That's the outgoing Taoiseach and leader of Fine Gael, Simon Harris, who's getting an extra day in the job that he didn't expect. What about the man who might, tomorrow morning, become Taoiseach, but might not, if there isn't a solution to this, if it's further delayed? What did Micheál Martin have to say?
Could I say that what we witnessed today was the subversion of the Irish Constitution. The most fundamental obligation of the Dáil is to elect a Taoiseach, and indeed to elect a government. That opportunity was denied today by a premeditated, coordinated and choreographed position by the opposition, and particularly by Sinn Féin Party. There was numerous attempts to facilitate agreement. At various times people thought agreements had been arrived at, and it became very clear to us that there was no intention ever to reach agreement on the nomination of a Taoiseach or a government today. This is the first time, I think, in over 100 years that the Dáil has failed to elect a government to fulfil its constitutional obligation. There is nothing more fundamental that the Dáil has to do, is obliged to do, then elect the government.
Okay, we have been, on the last word, trying to contact various Sinn Féin representatives to invite a senior member of the party to come onto the programme and explain what it has done, but everybody's mobile phone seems to be switched off at this point. I'm sure we'll get an opportunity to talk to them tomorrow. But Daniel McConnell, it's an interesting point there. There have been days when there has not been a government elected or a new Taoiseach elected in the Dáil because the numbers weren't there. But this is a day, and maybe historians can tell us differently, but it would appear to be unprecedented, where a vote to actually decide as to whether the Houses or the Dáil Éireann wants to elect a certain individual as Taoiseach has been denied by the opposition, stopping it from taking part. Would that be accurate?
It is unprecedented, Matt. I think the closest we've come in history was the day that Charles Haughey was to be elected Taoiseach, and ultimately was, and Fine Gael TDs. It was the day that Garrett Fitzgerald made his famous flawed pedigree speech, where there was a delay, and proceedings were delayed by up to 6-7 hours. But that's the closest that the Dáil came. It frustrated but did not interfere with the outworkings of the constitutional mandate that the Dáil has. And ultimately, so we have broken new ground here today. The opposition have prevented the Dáil from doing its constitutional duty, and that's not a good thing. You know, for whatever about the disagreements around the speaking rights, I mean, sure, you make your point, you have your bun fight, you know, you have your row, and you move on, and you say essentially allow the proceedings to go on, and have the bun fight behind closed doors at the business committee tomorrow about your speaking rights, and that's the purpose of that, you know, 2 week delay to the 5th, so you have time to kind of get your ducks in a row. It did not need to happen this way. I think Sinn Féin in particular should be ashamed of themselves. I think the opposition should literally wash themselves, because, like, I'm not a card-carrying member of government, and I attack them like everybody else. But ultimately, this was about frustrating the will of the Irish Parliament. And it was unseemly. It was pretty disgusting to watch. You know, when you know these are highly paid individuals who get into Dáil Éireann, who have a job to do, and with many problems and challenges to face in this country, and none of those challenges and none of those solutions were brought forward today over a pretty silly and juvenile row in the Dáil. And they can dress, the opposition can try and dress it up for, you know, about, you know, interfering with democracy. That's hogwash. Have your row. There was a procedure put in place. It looks and appears on the surface of it that, you know, deals done were reneged upon or walked away from for whatever reason. And ultimately, you know, we're now left in this pretty unseemly mess where a government could not be formed and a Taoiseach could not be elected. And I think that's not a good place for Irish democracy to be in.
As I said, it's a pity that we don't have somebody from Sinn Féin to come on and explain and defend itself in relation to this. So Sarah Carey, I mean, is this perhaps a sign of the future that we're going to perhaps have more populist style politics practiced in Dáil Éireann?
It reminds me of the Tea Party policy in America, what, the late 90s was that started? Do you remember Newt Gingrich and all of that? Where they started this policy of just total opposition. They would just refuse to allow the executive and the majority to do business and would not compromise on anything. Now, look where that ended up in America. And let's remember 2021 when Trump was going out of his way to prevent Joe Biden take office. Now, obviously, we haven't reached that levels yet, but that's what they want. You just prevent the government at all levels from doing any business. So people really need to think very seriously about where this will go. And, you know, like I said before, you know, I've always warned about Sinn Féin's behaviour and always said this is a party who bullies their way into what they want. So people have seen the evidence today and it's incontrovertible. So I'm wondering now, it's very interesting that they've got the phone switched off and they're not coming on. Is that because they're in a meeting because they're trying to figure out what to do? Or is it because they're actually shocked that they went as far as they did and it's had this much of an effect and they're figuring out what their line of defence is going to be? Because that's what they'll do now. There'll be a meeting, they'll agree their line, they'll start rolling out tonight, maybe later on some of the programmes. They'll all stick to their line, you know, not budge an inch. Like, we've seen this playbook before.
We'll make the opportunity available to Sinn Féin on tomorrow's programme to explain its position, why they thought this was necessary, and there may well be a very good explanation as far as Sinn Féin is concerned, and which may appeal to an awful lot of the listeners as well. But it does strike me, Daniel McConnell, as well, and in a few moments we're going to be talking to IBEC about its economic forecast for the year and next year, that this is all coming at a time in a week in which Donald Trump has decided upon things which are directly relevant to Ireland and to the country's finances. We have been benefiting from windfall taxes from the American multinationals in this country for a number of years. We've been spending that money, but the way Trump is talking now, much of that money could be at serious risk. And that is not an exaggeration. And here we are in a situation like that where we can't form a government.
Yeah, it's utterly ridiculous. And I saw that IBEC warning earlier on. And in fairness, they're only speaking truth. Like, we've been in this position over the last number of years where we've enjoyed windfall levels of taxation receipts, particularly from corporation tax. And, you know, to the point where the alarm bells are going off that we're overexposed and we're over-reliant on these kind of windfall taxes. You know, again, let's go back to the point. You know, if we were to strip out those windfall taxes, we've been running a budget deficit over the last couple of years. So, like things are not as rosy as we think they are. We can't afford to have this type of bun fight and crazy, narrow, parochial sort of row over speaking times in the Dáil. Like, I mean, we really need, I think everyone needs to collectively to cop on here. I don't think it was a good day for Verona Murphy, but I think maybe she was doomed to fail given the clear, and I think as the charge has been made, you know, the orchestrated attempt to try to disrupt matters in the Dáil. But I like, this cannot be allowed to persist, and I certainly hope that overnight cooler heads can prevail and we can get a deal to allow the government to be formed, because we do have serious questions to ask. I mean, more fundamentally about the issues. We need to get into discussing who's actually going to occupy these high offices of state and whether or not they've got the power, the resolve and the drive to, one, overcome the perceived blockages in the system, which we've talked on the show about many times, about in terms of the delivery of infrastructure, energy, power and water, etc. like that. And also as well, do they have the tools at their disposal in order to make that happen in a timely fashion? Because what we've had increasingly over the last number of years is government ministers acting like commentators rather than the masters of their own departments. So we have very real issues and structural issues that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
And yet enough, we're distracted by it for at least 24 hours by this very unseemly, unprecedented row that I think does no good for anybody. And I think it's very interesting that no one from Sinn Féin is available, because if they had the courage of their convictions, they'd come out and stand over what they did in the Dáil.
Well,
but they can't at the moment.
Our efforts have failed. Maybe others are having more success than we are having, but we have tried, and we do want to hear from Sinn Féin, so we'll make the commitment to have them on tomorrow's programme, because obviously there's a lot to talk about. Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, Sarah Carey of the Irish Independent, thank you very much.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.